Please turn in your copy of God's Word to Luke chapter 5. Our reading today is verses 12 through 16. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Over the next couple of Sundays with the observation of Advent, we want to plow our way through Luke in the same sequence we've been going, but we want to look at Jesus' ministry of healing, of preaching and proclaiming good news in light of the grand theme that we often sing from the hymn Joy to the World, which is a rendering of Psalm 98. That grand theme is this: He comes to make His blessings flow as far as the curse is found. And so together in our studies of Luke, as we see Jesus heal a leper, as we see Him heal the lame, as we see Him do many signs and wonders, we see Jesus doing exactly what we love to sing about: coming to make His blessings flow as far as the curse is found. He comes to heal. He comes to mend. He comes to fix what was broken by the fall. And so with that in mind, let us hear God's word from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. Speaking of Jesus, Luke the physician, the Gospel writer, says this: "While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged Him, 'Lord, if You will, You can make me clean.' And Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him, saying, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him. And He charged him to tell no one. But He said, 'Go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them.' But now even more the report about Him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear Him, to be healed of their infirmities. But He would withdraw to a desolate place, and He would pray." Let us pray together. Lord, we want to sit before You this day, and we want Your word to judge us. We're so used to judging things that come across our desk, but, oh Lord, give us eyes that see, ears that hear, hearts that understand that it is indeed You who are judging us. Your word is living and active. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It gets down to the joints and into the marrows, and it cuts us up and reveals who we really are. Lord, we might look at this passage today and say, oh, Jesus healed a leper. Lord, we have leprosy. We are filled with sin. We are riddled by it. It has ruined every part of our body. We are totally depraved. We are radically corrupt. And we need You to reach out and touch us, because You desire that all be healed. And so we pray that by Your word and by Your spirit today, that we would see, hear, and believe in Your gospel, and that You can heal even the sin-sick soul. Lord, let it be true. Because of Your blessing, because of Your help, and because of Your power. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, I picked up a copy of a little book called In the Sanctuary of Outcast. Some of you may have seen it, but a man in Louisiana who was a very successful publisher, because of some white-collar crime, some check fraud that he had committed, he ended up with an 18-month sentence in a low-level state penitentiary in the state of Louisiana. Well, the prison he was carted off to was called Carville. And Carville was a dual-purpose facility. It was a home for lepers, as well as a minimum security prison for white-collar criminals. And so this man, as he entered into his 18 months of incarceration at Carville, realized as he walked down the halls for the first time that he was in a strange place with some very strange people. These were not all white-collar criminals serving time for check fraud and other financial crimes. He realized very quickly that he was living in what he would find out was the last leper colony in the United States. It became very evident to him as he walked the halls and he saw people with disfigured bodies and missing digits and limbs, with bloated bodies, some weighing as much as 700 pounds by all appearances. It became evident to him that he was not the one who was imprisoned, but it was they who for years, some for decades, had been separated from their families because of this disease called leprosy. Because this man was a magazine publisher, because he was Ole Miss educated and knew his English grammar, they gave him the task while he was in prison to write on the message board in the cafeteria what would be served to the leper side of that particular colony. And he began to realize what he was going to learn as he encountered and interacted with these people. The first thing he heard as he wrote down the day's menu was that lepers could see purple better. Write the menu in purple, they told him. And as this person communicated to him that purple was the best, their spit landed on his cheek, and he thought for sure he was going to be struck with leprosy and live a very short life. Friends, we have all heard of leprosy. Maybe in modern times you know it to be called Hansen's disease. And somewhere about now there are only about 200,000 cases of leprosy. But in the 1980s, just maybe 35, 40 years ago, the number was more like over 5 million. It is often found in places of poverty. Countries like India represent where half of the cases of leprosy are to be found. But leprosy was very common in the Bible times. We find it in the stories of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we find lots of rules related to what to do when a person has a leprous spot or a leprous condition in their body. For you see, in God's economy, one who had a blemish on their skin was unclean. And you have to understand that when the Bible speaks of leprosy, it's a broad term. They were not as sophisticated as we are today in their medical diagnoses. But leprosy was a term that could be very generic. You have a spot on your skin. All the way to the case we see in our passage today. This man, and remember Luke is a physician, this man was full of leprosy. He was eaten up by it. He was overtaken by this radical bacterial disease. And so we come into the continued story of Jesus' ministry of the kingdom of God, where Jesus' goal and purpose and mission in life is to preach the good news, to set at liberty those who have been made captive by their sin and their sickness and their sorrow. And we've seen Jesus making his way through the crowds and teaching them and also healing them. And then there appears in one town a man full of leprosy. And I want us to take notice today of this man's faith, but also Jesus' willingness to heal him. As you make your way through these few verses of Luke's gospel, you see that this man falls on his face before Jesus. He knows something about who Jesus is and what he is able to do. This is a man who is infected. This is a man whose skin, his nerves, his digits, his extremities, his entire human body is so riddled by this disease. And not only that, he is an outcast from society. He can't live in the presence and in the company of others. Not even his closest kin can take care of him. And so he is cast out and he is living outside the city. And yet he sees Jesus and he knows he has great need, for he is infected. He is alienated. He is cast out of the presence of others. And he comes to Jesus as he falls on his face and he begs Jesus. He knows he is the only one who can save him, the only one who can heal him, the only one who can touch him and make him whole. And what does he say to Jesus? He says, "If you will, you can make me clean." And notice what Jesus does in response to this man's faith, this man's request. Jesus reaches out and touches him. Now, if you're a good reader of the Old Testament, what would you immediately do? You would be repulsed and you might even cry out, "No, Jesus, don't touch him. He's full of leprosy. You'll get it. You'll be unclean." He needs to go see a priest. He needs to go through all the rituals and the offerings and the cleansing. Not so with Jesus, the last priest, the clean priest, the good priest, the capable priest. He desires that this man be clean. And he reaches out and he touches him. And guess what? His leprosy leaves him. Just like that, he's healed. You know, it wasn't until about 1980 that doctors in modern times, this is 2,000 years later, it wasn't until 1980 that doctors figured out how to treat leprosy. It wasn't until about 1980 they figured out what is the problem and then what is the solution. And now you can take about a 3-pill, I believe it is, a regimen of something that's antibacterial, and over time you can get rid of your leprosy. Now, you may have had residual effects and other hardships from it, but isn't it amazing here that Jesus touched him and healed him, and his leprosy immediately left him? This man no longer unclean. This man no longer an outcast. This man no longer in pain. This man no longer in mental and spiritual and social anguish, simply by the command and the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Master and Lord of the universe. This man immediately was made healed. Now this is huge. Some of you have suffered chronically with all sorts of aches and pains and medical conditions in your life. And you wake up every morning to one of those wonderful plastic pill boxes. And before you have the coffee, you open up the Monday one or the Tuesday one or the Wednesday one. And you see the doctor and you see the nurse and you see the PA. And you go for this blood test and that blood test. And the rest of your life is a regimen of pills and physicians and treatments and even uncertainty. All of that wiped away for this man, completely healed by Almighty God. And notice what Jesus tells him. He gives him two commands. The first one is, shh, don't tell anyone. But it's obvious from the rest of the passage, verses 15 and 16, he must have told the whole world. For they all went after Jesus and followed him wherever he went, and the report about him went abroad. Great crowds gathered him. But the first command was, shh, don't tell. The second command was, go show the priest, make the offering, and let him declare you clean. Dear friends, this is an impossible disease that this man experienced. It had ruined his life. It had ruined his health. It had ruined his social life. It had ruined his ability to be comfortable, to live, probably to sleep at night. He was in great pain, great sorrow, great discomfort in every aspect of his life. And Jesus was able to heal him. And you might be scratching your head saying, Jesus has done the impossible here. Isn't it nice that this man with leprosy is now made whole? But that's not the point of the story, is it? The point of the story is this. Sin has affected every one of us. In fact, it has infected every one of us. In our sin, as we like to say in our theology, it has so radically corrupted us that every part of our being is sick. We sing that song, there is a balm in Gilead, and it can heal the sin-sick soul. But every thought, every action, every heartbeat, every emotion, every pulse of our life is filled and it is tattered with sin. And it ostracizes us from the presence of God. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned, what did God do? Oh, stay on in the garden. I don't want to be lonely. No, he threw them out. For unholiness has nothing to do with holiness. And so we were, because of sin, exiled from God. We were banished from his presence and his worship, but also from his people. And so God, in his mercy, through the wonderful work of Christ, can heal our spiritual leprosy. He can heal what has been bruised and broken and tormented and trashed and devastated and destroyed by sin. And Jesus can come in our lives and he can touch us and he can make us whole, removing our guilt, removing our hearts of stone, removing our wills that hate to do what God loves, and he can replace us with a new life. We are new creations in the Lord Jesus Christ. The old is gone and the new has come. And we have new life through Jesus. Sin and all its miserable effects can be eradicated by the gospel. But I want to encourage you in this way. The only way, you hear that? The only way to be healed of your sin sickness is to come to Jesus and to fall on your face and say, Lord Jesus, if you will, you can heal me. And the good news of the gospel is this. Jesus says, I will. And he touches us and grants us faith and hope in him. Let us pray together. Our Lord and God, we give you thanks this day that there is not a sickness in our body and a sickness in our soul that Jesus can't heal. And we rest in that truth. For we have infirmities in our body. We have struggles daily with sin. And we know every day without a shadow of a doubt that we need Jesus. And we long for the day when you take us home to be with you, when sin will hurt us no more, when we will be glorified, we will be made perfect, we will be in your eternal presence forever. But until then, keep our eyes on Jesus, the great physician, the great healer, the great sin eradicator. Lord, these are truths that we can often forget as the world, as our flesh, and even the devil speak to us often about a different way, about different promises, about different means of salvation. But keep us close to Christ. Keep us deep in your word, and let us live by your Spirit so that we know deep down every day that we are your children and that we will win this battle with sin and its sickness. Oh Lord, come quickly, we do pray, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.